Our first reading today comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. And right before this passage, Mary Magdalene has gone to the empty tomb, and Jesus has appeared in front of her and told her to go and tell the disciples. Now it's later on in the day when this passage starts. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had been were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark on the nail of the nails on his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson today comes from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. And the scene right before this passage is that after being forbidden to preach the gospel, the disciples went ahead and preached it. They were put in jail. They got out of jail. They went back to the temple and they preached more about Christianity, and they were rounded up and brought before the high priest. When they had brought them, they had the disciples stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The next reading comes from the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And it's near the very beginning of it, the first chapter, verses 4 through 8. "John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has been freed, and who has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, everyone who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Wasn't last Sunday just a wonderful worship service? You know, the sanctuary was beautiful. The music was outstanding. And I believe the attendance was the highest it's ever been since I've been here. And I've even been told that the sermon was pretty good. But now comes the next Sunday. The Sunday after Easter is often one of the lowest attended services, but you are the faithful ones. You are here. But many people come on Easter Sunday, they say, Christ is risen, and then they go back to life as usual, basically saying, so what? But we want to try to answer that so what question today. And to do so, we want to look at all three of our scripture readings. And we'll begin with the gospel reading. Can you imagine what was going through the heads of those disciples as they were in that upper room on that Easter Sunday? Christ had been crucified. He was dead. And here they are, they're locked up in that upper room. The doors are locked because they're afraid. They're afraid that the Jewish authorities or the Roman soldiers may come knocking through that door to arrest them. They're confused because the rumors have been spreading around all day. The women said that the tomb is empty. Peter and John had run out to the tomb, found that it was empty. And now Mary Magdalene is saying she has seen the Lord, that he's risen. But they're just saying she's some hysterical woman. He can't believe her. I imagine they're going through those early stages of grief, of denial, of anger, blame. They're probably questioning what, you know, their involvement in all of this. For 3 years, they've given their life to following Jesus. He was the one, they believed. The one that would restore Israel to all of its glory. And now he's dead. Have they wasted those 3 years? And then suddenly, without warning, Jesus is there in their midst, the risen Lord. And now everything changes. Their grief turns to joy. Their fear turns to courage. And they can hardly contain their excitement. Everyone that is, except for Thomas. Thomas missed Easter. We don't know where he was, why he wasn't in the upper room with the other disciples that first Easter. But we're told he wasn't there. And so the disciples, you know, they go out and they find him and say, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And his response is, I don't believe you. I won't believe unless I can see the nail prints in his hands, the hole in his side. But the disciples are, but we've seen him. Don't you believe us? Well, you can't blame them. They didn't believe Mary when she said she had seen the risen Lord. So on the eighth day, there they are, all of them, in that upper room again. And suddenly Jesus is in their midst, and he singles out Thomas. Oh, Thomas, come here, I've got something to show you. Holds out his hand. Thomas just falls on his knees and says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, you have seen and you believe. Blessed are those who believe who do not see. That's us, you and me. We're the ones that have followed along. We haven't seen the risen Lord. Because Jesus was risen and they had seen him, everything about their lives changed. And we see that when we move to our Acts passage. Because here they are, they're before the Jewish council. The very people who had condemned Jesus to die and then taken him to Pilate so that that could be carried out with the crucifixion. Here they are before the council because they've been preaching Jesus being raised from the dead in the temple, and the Jewish authorities couldn't have it because they were swaying all these people to believe. And so they pull him in and say, "You got to shut up. We told you to stop talking about him," because they'd already arrested Peter and John, and now they've arrested him again. "And you got to shut up about this Jesus." And Peter says to him, "Well, who do you think we should obey, you or God? We can't speak for you, but we're going to speak for God's, on behalf of God." And that message is Jesus has been raised from the dead. This is the same Peter who just a short time before had denied knowing Jesus three times. And now he has courage and boldness to be proclaiming this message out in the open, out even in front of the very ones he was afraid of beforehand. So if you ask those who had seen the risen Lord, "So what?" They're going to say, "We're going to be bold witnesses to it." But what about those who have not seen, but who believe? And for that, we move to Revelation. Revelation, we know, is a difficult book to understand because it was basically written in code, so that those that were reading it might have an understanding of what was going on, but those that wouldn't know wouldn't be able to understand. And often we're the ones that don't understand. But here's the essence of the book: that Christ is risen and that Christ will come again. So be encouraged. These people who were the ones that had not seen the risen Lord, but who had believed nevertheless that he is risen, these people are suffering persecution. These people are going through some difficult times, all because of their faith in Jesus. And so this letter was written to encourage them to hold fast. Stay true to the faith. Because one day, Jesus is going to come again from the clouds. And one day, those who pierced him, those who killed him, are going to see him. And those who have been persecuted, those who have suffered because of their faith, those who have remained true, they're going to be vindicated. Christ is coming again. We're going to be part of that. So when preaching the Easter message, we preach that Christ is risen. But we don't shy away from the evil and the suffering that we see in the world today, because we know that it's real. We know that it's been defeated because Christ has been risen, because Christ will return, that one day evil will be defeated, one day death will be no more, one day there will be no more tears, for God's kingdom will reign over all of creation. And we are to be proclaimers of this message. We are to have boldness and courage to share this. And because those readers of that letter of Revelation had remained true and faithful, and they have continued to proclaim Christ is risen and Christ is coming again, we are now followers. We are now those with the responsibility of proclaiming Christ is risen and the kingdom of God is coming. The title of the sermon is Stuck in the Middle. There was a popular song in the 1970s by that title. And the chorus went something like, clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right of me, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. And I think it's very appropriate for us to see ourselves that we're stuck in the middle too. On the one side, there is the Jesus who was crucified and raised up. The Jesus that gives us new life, that forgives us of our sins, who empowers us by the Holy Spirit to live faithful lives. The one that proclaims the kingdom of God coming. We have that on the one side. On the other side, we have that when it is fulfilled. When Christ has returned. When the evil has been defeated and death will be no more. And the kingdom of God will exist through all of eternity, throughout all of creation. We have that. But here we are, stuck in the middle. Not knowing when this will come about, but trying to remain faithful to this. So we are an Easter people. Proclaiming Christ is risen, proclaiming that Christ will come again, proclaiming that God is the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. It would be our equivalent of A to Z. God is the first to the last. God is the beginning and the end and all that is in between. And we are proclaimers of this message that God will accomplish all that God said to do, said he would do. And we are to have boldness in doing that. Christ is risen, so what? So what? We have a message to proclaim. We have lives that we are to live. We should be changed in how we deal with other people. What are our relationships like? Are they reflecting the love of God that we have received? Are we sharing this with other people who are suffering, going through difficult times? Are we going to be like Peter and those other apostles and be bold in what we say? I think we as Christians, as an Easter people, should walk around with a big grin on our face. Even in the midst of suffering and pain, we are grinning because we know the end of the story. And those who are going through difficult times, who may be suffering, they're going to be curious when they see someone with a big grin on their face. Why are you grinning? We're able to tell because Christ is risen and he's coming again. And death has been defeated, and evil has been defeated. And one day we will be with him forever. We are to be a people of good news. And we're to be bold about it, excited about it. So we need to put on our big grin. We need to laugh. Even when we see the suffering and the pain in the world. Because we have good news to those who are suffering. We have good news to those who are going through pain. That God has the final say. That in the end, God wins. So what? We are an Easter people with good news for all people. Let's pray. Lord, help us to remember that we are indeed Easter people, not just on Easter Sunday, but on every day. Because we have had our sins forgiven. We have been given new life. We are a redeemed people, given a message of forgiveness and redemption for others. A message of good news that the one who was and who is to come will indeed come again and rule over all creation. So let us be faithful as we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.